Welcome to the Making Sales Social podcast, featuring the top voices in sales, marketing, and business. Join Bryn Tillman and me, Bob Woods, as we each bring you the best tips and strategies our guests are teaching their clients, so you can leverage them for your own virtual and social selling. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to Making Sales Social. We interview a ton of experts and thought leaders. This one, you're going to be surprised because when I say his name, you're going to think I'm talking about someone else. I am interviewing today Jeb Blunt Jr. So excited. He is a digital learning expert. He's a brilliant sales guy. He has a big shoes to fill, but he's doing a great job doing it. And I'm excited to talk about how the next generation is using the traditional sales outreach, but incorporating social selling. Welcome, JBJ, as you're known internally with all your buddies, and how I was introduced to you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I love social selling and what it can do for the tool belt that sellers have. I like the conversations that you specifically have around them. So I've been following you for a very long time. And for those that don't know me, I'm the taller, better looking Jeb Blunt. So if you want to find me on LinkedIn and social media, you'll know the difference between the two. There'll be no confusion, but our voices do sound very similar. So if you haven't checked out us, go look us up on LinkedIn and we'll get connected. But Bryn, I'm so happy to be here. And thank you for letting me talk on your show. We'll see what comes out.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's what's so fun about these. Well, you know, I met you in person when I was at your studios recording, and I'm going to be back down again recording in under a month, where we're going to talk deeper into Sales Navigator and some deep sales stuff. But today is all about learning from you. So let's start with the question I ask everyone, which is, what does making sales social mean to you?
The reason that social media exists, right, is for human connection. That's why we built the internet. That's why we built social media platforms. And that is really important to fundamentally understand about why social media is so important for us as salespeople, is it is a way for us to connect human to human. And if you've ever followed the Sales Gravy team or, you know, any of Jeb Blunt's books, and you'll hear us say this over and over again, the fastest way to have a sales conversation is to pick up the phone and call somebody, right? And the reason is that human conversation is so powerful, both to get a no and a yes or maybe as quickly as possible. And we're about win probability and disciplines. And so social selling to me is utilizing a channel, you know, of the many that we have, and creating authentic human connections on those platforms, whether that's Facebook, which I used a lot in the field when I sold B2B business for a telecommunications company, utilizing LinkedIn. Obviously, I use LinkedIn more than any other platform as a B2B salesperson and as a marketer and as a leader of a business division. And you can utilize any of these channels to connect with other people. So to me, social selling is authentically creating connections between yourself and another human being to have a conversation that helps, that drives value, which is getting closer to a decision that helps them grow, advance, mitigate risk, or reduce costs, you know, get to the next level of their business. That's what social selling is to me.
So I love that. And one of the reasons we're talking today is because we're going to talk about how to integrate social selling into the fabric of sales, right? This is not a standalone. You can't close a complex deal with social selling, but you can open the conversations and you can nurture those relationships through social selling. So share with me a little bit about how you use LinkedIn, social listening. Let's start with build a list of companies that you'd like to go after.
Sure. Building a list of companies, there's so many ways to do this. And the tools that are available to most sellers, in a large company, you might have ZoomInfo, you might have Apollo or Seamless. For smaller businesses that have just a few salespeople, this may very well be a manual task that you have to go get done. But the way that I utilize LinkedIn is I start with use cases. So I think about this when I think messaging, when I think about my ideal customer profile. It's what are the businesses that have had success working with me or my company if I haven't been in the business for very long? And then, if there's marketing use cases or case studies, go find those. And the best thing to do is just start with what works. I watch so many salespeople, and I've done it myself. We spin wheels trying to figure out, we've got a great product, so let's go find a market. We try and almost over entrepreneur our way into finding the right business or the right vertical, and then we throw spaghetti at the wall. We hope something hits. And we can start with, okay, what has worked in the past? And then I utilize LinkedIn this way. Find that company that bought from you and had a great success, and you can go find other companies that look exactly like them and smell exactly like them utilizing LinkedIn. All you have to do is go to their page, and it'll show you on the side who they've connected with, who those companies are like. It'll give you four or five of them right off the bat, and then you just do that a couple more times. You got a list of 10 companies. Go find the people you want to go talk to, because on their pages, you can literally on LinkedIn search in the people section sales. For me, like a sales VP will show up, or the president, or the director of sales, and I can go connect with them or build a list of them. And that's typically how I build lists from LinkedIn, is find the use case, find the case study that works, and then just go to LinkedIn and take, I like high intensity sprints. If you've ever followed us, we love HIPs, high intensity prospecting sprints. But I use a Pomodoro timer, set it to 15 minutes, and I go find five companies that are like the one that I sold to that had success with what I did and was a great ideal customer profile. I'll take 15 minutes and go find a list of five companies. Then later on in the day, I'll have another 15-minute block, and I find the people I want to talk to at those companies. And then a little bit later, 15 minutes, I go and do some research on maybe four of those contacts and find out who they are, how long they've been there, and I don't waste 3 hours of my day doing that, but I bang it out, and I've got 10 people that I can go call the next day. That's how I use it.
So I love that. And I think the way that you describe that is so tangible. Like, it's so easy to do. You just go to the page, you look at other companies like that page. One thing I'll add to that is when you build that list of people, look at your social proximity. Do you have any first degree connections, or do you have second degree connections where there are people that might be able to give you a kind of an edge in? Now, for me, I tend to slow down my outreach very specific. So when I do outreach, it's really, really warm. You tend to do more volume, and there's no right or wrong. It's just sort of right, like our personal approach. But one of the things that you said, which I think is brilliant, you've got 10 people, not hundreds of people. So it's still honed in to the right people. And when you make a call, you now have a name that you're asking for, right? Yeah. So it's not, hey, who runs your sales department? But hey, is Jane Smith there, right? And it getting through gatekeepers is easier. And by the way, if you have a warm connection, so I want to get to Jane Smith and I see JBJ knows Jane and I drop you a note, how well do you know Jane? This is where I'm looking to get. When I talk to her, should I tell her you said hello? Now, when you get there, hey, Jane, I was talking to JBJ, he says hello, and now you've warmed it up. So I love your pathway in. There are so many different ways in, and that's very much underutilized and probably the fastest way to get, in our world, kind of a pre-qualified list to go after. So I love that.
Yeah. Absolutely. One of the challenges that I find when I train sales teams and when we work with sales teams is there's almost the opposite end of that, right? So the one side of this is that you don't know anybody and you're just going to call companies and see who's in charge and you didn't do any research and you're essentially just trying to qualify them from ground zero, which in some cases I love doing because it's a great way to just sort of learn the prospecting path. And get some volume in your calls and get some practice. So it's a great way to shake up the cobwebs in the morning. Just go call random companies and see what you can find. But when you are dealing with an ideal customer profile, you know what you're targeting. what happens in a lot of organizations is they'll use a Zoom info and they'll pull every director of sales or director of HR from an ICP categorized inside of Zoom info. And then they'll just, you know, dive into a list of 500 people and start calling, and they'll have Jane's name. They'll say, you know, like, hey, is Jane there? And they get past the gatekeepers and they go to the next step, but they didn't utilize the channels that we have, like LinkedIn or the other social channels that you might have, and found some information on Jane, confirmed that she is the director of HR or still is in that role, or just learning some basic information about their organization, and you dive into a list of 500 and you try and have a value conversation with Jane, and you've never tried to warm up the conversation from your end, you will find that there are a lot of stonewalls there, and it's almost more damaging than having no information and trying to get to Jane than pretending like you know Jane and then knowing nothing about her. So there's two ends of that, and utilizing LinkedIn to kind of bridge that middle gap is where I see a lot of organizations and a lot of sellers cutting corners, and that's why sales gets a bad name. There's a lot of people who cut corners and they get to a conversation with Jane and there's nothing to say and it sounds like a sales pitch.
So you said something brilliant in there, and I just want to go back to it, which is to start a value conversation. What does that mean to you, and how do you identify what's going to be of value to the person you're calling?
Gosh, there's so much here. A few minutes. Identifying this, first, I would say don't overwhelm yourself with the three P's, you know, perfectionism, procrastination, and I'm forgetting my last P, and I'll get back to it. But
always happens when we're recording in real time live. I've forgotten my children's names live, so don't feel bad.
Yeah, it's in our books. Just go read them. There. But one of procrastination and perfectionism and paralysis is the, there you go. What we do is we
get irony to, around that paralysis is the word you froze on. But anyway,
and you spend time on somebody's like, you spend 40 minutes looking at their profile and you're trying to do too much research because odds are Jane's not going to answer the phone. So, you know, you don't need to spend, there's efficiency and effectiveness. So how do you understand what the value is? Well, first you can go to their profile and just see if they posted anything that's relevant to what you're selling and what problems you could solve, that they're hiring. And a lot of it's aspirational. Don't always look for pain points. Look for places that you can add value to the, you know, your rocket fuel on top of what they're currently doing. There's some momentum there. So, you know, can you add to that? And then of course, pain points, but people don't typically post on social media, hey, I'm dealing with X, Y, Z problems. Do you know anybody who can help me? That's not how, if people operated that way, I wouldn't outbound call. I would just go on LinkedIn all day long. But you can find things on LinkedIn as well. But part of this is just understanding business, like business acumen. If you go read, you know, go follow Anthony Anarino, a friend of ours, who is just an incredible business human being. Read trade magazines, go on, you know, Reddit and find threads and understand the challenges for particular roles. So know their role. That's social media. Go find the role, confirm it. Know what they're dealing with. And, you know, there's typically like five things that these people want to get done. Think about the CFO, right? They want to reduce costs. They want to increase EBITDA because they're thinking about shareholders and they're reporting up to the CEO. Chief marketing officers care about, you know, brand awareness. They care about inbound leads and MQLs. They care about, you know, consistency across the organization. Sales people, what do they care about? Revenue, right? They care about meeting their numbers. And so these are all things that you can just know and build messaging off of. But the other thing is you can also, you know, utilize your channels to meet people in their circle who, you know, hey, I'm dealing with this challenge and I was talking with Jane about this the other day. I think it'd be great for you to go have a conversation. So there's so many different ways for us to know what value is to them. And then delivering that value is a different, you know, a different topic altogether. But when I think about value, I think about what I can do to affect their life positively or change the trajectory of what's happening in their world. And that's value. Not that I have a great product or that I have, I mean, SalesGravy is the best training organization in the world. And we serve the top 25, you know, S&P 500 companies. It's not true. I'm just making that up. But, you know, we serve all of these different companies with logos and we've got 1,000 hours of training on SalesGravy University. And I give you the whole marketing pitch. But if I talk to Jane Doe in a conversation or a LinkedIn message this person or I send them an email, Jane doesn't give a, sorry, I don't want to cuss on your show, but Jane
a dang.
A dang, a darn, a shoot about what I have done and what this company has done on our end. They care about what's in it for them. So change that messaging to speak to them as a human being, both in their role and as a business person. So that's what there's so many parts of this that we could just dive.
No, I love that. I love that. I want to go back to what you said, because I feel like we could kind of bridge this gap with something you said earlier, which is go back to your success stories and find out what was the challenge they were having before they hired you. Because that's probably the challenge most of your prospects are having.
And speaking stories, right? When you look at the case studies, they should start with, there was a hero, the company that you worked with. They were in this, they had this situation, this problem, and they didn't see a way out of it. And then they decided to move forward with a provider like yourself, and that provided a solution that got them out of the untenable situation. And then they had X number of success because they implemented your solution. And that's just the story that they tell. So whatever that problem was at the beginning, just speak to that. Most companies will have some kind of similar story. You'll be able to make a connection.
And chances are, if they don't, you're probably not a good fit.
And then you can move on.
This was fantastic, JBJ. I'm so excited to have had you on here. My last question I'm going to ask you is, what is the question I should have asked that I didn't?
The question you should have asked that you didn't is, well, what drives real connection between human beings if you're a sales professional? We talk about this on social, calling via phone and emails and voicemails. And the thing is authenticity. So when I think about social selling, one of the key areas that a lot of organizations miss and a lot of salespeople miss is that you be authentic to who you are first. And what I mean by that is, you know, it doesn't have to be like everything personal about your life. You don't, no one needs to know when you picked your nose for you to be authentic. But you have to be willing to show that you are learning, you're on the path, that you're speaking the language. You have to have real conversations with people and learn from them. And a lot of people love, you know, when people share mistakes, like, hey, I had this conversation and I missed, and here's why I lost. And here's where I think that it could have gotten better. If you're a sales professional, put that journey out there on social media, give yourself some depth rather than the marketing spiels and the and calling on people and saying the four sentences that your marketing department put on a brochure. You know, really think about how you can be authentic in every channel that you have. And so when you think about social selling, the key aspect for me and what I look for, especially as a leader in a business, is, are you looking to actually connect with me, or are you looking to transactionally set an appointment because you have a quota to go hit? And the line that lies right between those two things is very thin. And if you can walk it well, you'll be more successful than most of your peers and most people that you're around.
Ah, that's a great way to end this. So if people are interested in learning more about you and Sales Gravy, where should they go?
Right. That's a question you did ask me, and I'm glad you did. The best way to engage your sales professional journey and deliver a better presence in any space that you're in because you developed yourself, the number one investment you should make is in yourself first, because you have the greatest ROI. You can control that. And Bryn, who I love and follow and has all of the best social selling tips in the world, I you know, there's no one better that you can learn from in this world of social selling. She has many classes on Sales Gravy University. And Sales Gravy University is the most powerful engine for learning as a sales professional and as a leader. So if you haven't checked it out, go to learn.salesgravy.com. That's learn.salesgravy.com. If you haven't signed up for anything before, use code FREECOURSE. And I'm sure if, Brandon, in the show notes below, you can link one of your courses below. Take that for free and learn from the best in the business, not just us two people sitting here, but from 40 different experts. And that's the best way to get connected to Sales Gravy is learn.salesgravy.com.
Thank you. Now, I am honored to be an instructor on Sales Gravy University, but I am blown away at the talent beyond the people, the Amy Francos, the Anthony Innerinos. I mean, you have absolutely hands down some of the top sales voices on Sales Gravy University. And while I have my own courses, I send many people to Sales Gravy University because it goes way beyond. And any sales topic you can imagine that you want to learn about, you'll learn there. Thank you, JBJ. I hope to see you when I'm back there next month recording. And for everyone listening, when you're out and about, don't forget to make your sales social.
Thanks for watching, and join us again for more special guest instructors bringing you marketing, sales training, and social selling strategies that will set you apart. Hit the subscribe button below to get the latest episodes from the Making Sales Social podcast. Give this video a thumbs up and comment down below on what you want to hear from us next. You can also listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. Visit our website, socialsaleslink.com, for more information.